Mars bars, sugar bombs, gorgo bars, stingrays, Milky Moos, cola bottles.
The kids don't say anything. They know it's a shit deal. In junior school, all anyone does is make trades. For football stickers, lunches, computer games, whatever. You know when someone's trying to rip you off. Above the Black Ridge, light is bleeding out of the sky. Carl thinks they should just grab the kids and take the pills from them. But Barry has explained to him already that what they want to establish here is an ongoing relationship. If you take the pills today, what will you do tomorrow? Ever since last night when Carl threw away the pills, Barry's been speaking to him in a slow, careful voice. The same way Carl's remedial maths teacher does when she's telling him, "Now say if you want to save for a new bike that costs 200 euro, and you put 100 euro in the bank, and the rate of interest is 10%, then it would take you..." Carl, it would take you... Barry stomps down to one end of the dugout, then comes back again and takes out his wallet. There is a 20 euro note in there. He waves it under Oscar's nose.
20 euro. And the sweets.
Oscar doesn't even look at the money. Across the pitches, the clock strikes four. The girls will be arriving soon.
What is it you want? How can we do a deal if you won't say what you want?
The two small boys look at each other. Then in the distance, a banger goes off. Oscar's face lights up.
Fireworks,
he says.
You just thought of that now.
Fireworks!
The white-faced kid speaks for the first time.
Where the fuck are we supposed to get fireworks?
But now the two boys are yapping away about what kind and how many.
Bangers, rockets, carter sticks.
Okay, okay. You win. If you want fireworks, fair enough. But we can't get them to you till tomorrow. So here's what we'll do. You give us the pills now for our experiment. And then tomorrow, we'll meet you here again, same time, same place, with the fireworks.
Ha ha!
Oscar laughs. Actually laughs.
No way!
Barry makes a noise like, through his teeth. And Carl can tell he is thinking, fuck the deal. Let's teach these faggots some respect. But then he turns to Carl and says,
watch them.
And he pegs it off across the rugby pitches.
Where's your friend gone?
Oscar asks. Carl says nothing, just folds his arms and tries to look like he knows what's happening.
What's your science project about?
The white-faced kid Rory asks.
Shut the fuck up,
Carl says. He looks out into the going dark evening. Maybe Barry won't come back. Maybe he's gone to meet Lollipop on his own. This is all a trick. He arranged it with the kids and... Panting, Barry clambers back into the dugout. In his hand is a plastic bag.
Fireworks,
he says. Every kind. Black holes, sailor boys, spider bombs and others. Barry fans them out on the ground.
You can't have all of them,
he says, like a dad in a shop.
Pick out three each.
The boys stare, whispering the names to each other.
Today, arseholes. And give me those pills first.
They hand over the pills without even thinking. The white-faced kid's in a Smarties box. Oscar's wrapped in old cling film that smells like sandwiches. Barry counts them into Morgan Bellamy's tube. Then he nods, and the two kids snatch up the fireworks before he can change his mind. Now Carl and Barry are hurrying back over the pitches. The squishy ground is going hard with cold. The grass and trees are dark, like night is spreading up from below.
Where did you get all that stuff?
Carl asks.
Firework fairy.
Barry smiles mysteriously. He is happy again now. As they walk, he tells Carl how it just goes to show everybody has a price, and often it's a lot less than you expect. But he does not let Carl carry the pills or even touch them. There are no lights behind Ed's. First, all Carl sees are the glowing tips of their cigarettes. Then the faces come out of the dark, 5 of them, Lollipop, Crinkly Hair, and 3 others, talking in American girl accents, waving around their Marlboro lights. It is strange seeing them here, among the weeds and the cans and the bashed-up supermarket trolleys. The tower stares over the scraggly trees and bushes like a giant stone face. But no one real is watching.
"Hey, ladies,"
Barry says, like this is all totally normal, like he has just wandered over to their table at L.A. Nights. They look back at him without speaking, and as the boys come closer, the 3 new girls huddle together, their eyes flicking from Barry to Carl and back again.
"Weren't you supposed to be here a half hour ago?"
Crinkly Hair sounds pissed off. Rising above the others, Lollipop gazing right at him. Carl feels his dick wake and stir in his pants.
"We had some trouble with our connection,"
Barry tells her.
"I thought that was your own personal prescription,"
Crinkly Hair says. Barry can't think of an answer, so he just smiles. The new girls are looking really unhappy now, like Carl and Barry are 2 total scumbags.
"Well, are we going to do business or not?"
Barry says. He takes out the orange see-through tube and holds it out, the way you'd hold out food to a stray cat. With a shrug, Crinkly Hair comes over to him, and one by one the other girls follow. But Lollipop stays at the edge, looking over to where Carl is standing guard by the gap leading back to the road.
"They're medically developed by scientists,"
Barry is explaining to the new girls.
"I read about them in Marie Claire,"
one of the girls says.
"They stop you getting hungry."
"That's right,"
Barry says.
"In Hollywood, everyone takes them."
"How much do they cost?"
another girl asks.
€3 each,"
Barry says.
"Or 10 for 20.
"Yesterday you were going to give us 5 for 5.
Crinkly Hair says. Barry shrugs.
"Supply and demand. I don't control the market. If you don't want them, there are some girls from Alex's who said they'd take the lot."
"I'd say,"
Crinkly Hair says sarcastically. But the other girls are reaching into bags for purses decorated with slinky cartoon cats and glittery flowers. Carl turns to watch the entrance while the deal goes through. Behind him he hears their voices counting, first coins, then pills. Every second it gets darker, like the air is filling up with particles. He realizes someone is standing beside him. It is Lollipop. She is looking at Carl.
"I have a problem."
It is only the second thing he has ever heard her say. He makes a sound somewhere between, "Huh?" and, "What?"
"I want to buy some diet pills, but I don't have any money."
"You don't have any money?"
"No."
"You don't have any?"
"No."
She looks at him with expressionless green eyes. This close, he can almost taste how red her lips are. The others are talking among themselves.
"Last night, your friend said that you might be able to work something out."
She raises an eyebrow. Her school blouse is 2 buttons open, and if he leans forward, Carl can make out the top half of a white tit.
"What do you mean?"
"I don't know."
She noses the toe of her shoe against the ashy black ground. Carl lunges for her with his mouth. She pulls back, but takes his hand and leads him across the clearing and into the trees. In here, the air tastes of wet leaves, and through the weeds he can see old initials graffitied on the wall. She is standing right up against him, an inch away. He smells the smell of her. It is sweet like strawberries. She pushes her hair back with her hand. The other voices seem far away. She leans in and upwards, and her mouth is on his. Her tongue strokes through it, deeper and deeper, like an oar through the water. She stops.
"Are you Carl or Barry?"
"Carl."
"My name is Laurie, short for Lorelei."
"Lollipop,"
he mumbles.
"What?"
"Nothing."
Then she's kissing him again. The smell of her hair and skin swirl all around him. He sticks a hand on her left tit. She lifts it off, but doesn't take her mouth away. For another 20 seconds, 30, her thin body crushes up tighter and tighter against him, as if she's screwing herself into place with her tongue. Then, like the claw in the fairground when the money runs out, she separates herself from him and steps backwards. She gazes at him with her expression of expressionlessness.
Laurie, what are you doing in there?
Goes Crinkly Hair from outside. Laurie moves him aside with her hand and walks back into the clearing. A second later, Carl limps out after her, pulling his jacket down over his boner. Going up to Barry, he says,
10.
At first, Barry doesn't get it, but then he clicks, and without a word, counts out the 10 pills. Laurie stands beside Carl, not looking at him, and holds her hands cupped for Barry to pour the pills into, like she's waiting for communion. And the pills do look like little communions. Then she puts them in the pocket of her coat and goes back to her friends. It is completely dark now. Before they go, Barry tries to make each of the girls take his number. But they are chattering to each other like he isn't there. Like this is all over and they are already far away. They leave without saying goodbye. When they are out of sight, Barry lets out a whoop.
Our first score! Check it out, dude!
He opens his fist on a nest of notes and coins. Then he hugs Carl.
This is just the beginning, hombre. We are going to fucking rule this neighborhood.
Holding his hands up to the sky, he turns to the traffic going by and shouts into the headlights,
We are the men! We are the fucking men!
They start walking towards Burger King. Barry looks at Carl slyly.
She sucked your dick, didn't she?
Carl says nothing, then slowly nods with a half smile.
Damn!
Barry laughs and strikes his thigh.
Why didn't I think of that?
Carl laughs too. Then he looks back. But the girls are gone, of course. They are long gone. The door opens. The priest's blackness disappears into the deeper black of the shadows, like he's never been there. Except for the smell of incense that still twists itself through the air. You go to the window to chase it away. Cold blasts in to clash against the sick sweat on your arms and chest and back. The wrinkled sheets thrown back on the bed like shed skin. The taste of pills still in your mouth like you are made of pills. The 5 imprints of his fingertips still burning on your cheek. Hello? The voice that answers the phone is clipped, hiding like a spy's voice. Dad? Hey there, sport. The voice relaxes a little bit, or pretends to. Wasn't expecting to hear from you tonight. How's things? Well, not so good, actually. Oh no. What's bugging you, sport? Lately, Dad started doing this thing of calling you sport. You know he does it to make you feel like everything's okay, but it doesn't work. Instead, it's like he's forgotten who he is, and he's trying to cover it up with pieces of dads from TV. Sunny American dads in sitcoms, who go out with you to the yard to throw a baseball back and forth. I got sick today, you say. Sick, sick? Yeah, in class. Did you eat something? I don't think so. Must be a tummy bug. How are you feeling now? Okay. You don't sound great. I had to go to the nurse. What did she say? She just sent me to bed. She said I shouldn't go to training tomorrow. You're going to miss training? Yeah. Behind the patchwork of TV dads, you can hear him not knowing what to say. Dad doesn't like talking on the phone. It's like the longer he talks, the thinner the patchwork is stretched. The more the things they aren't saying come gusting through. That sounds like a bad dose, all right. Well, keep an eye on it, sport, and let's see how it goes. Okay. You wait a second, and then, like you've just thought of it, is Mum around? Mum? Dad repeats, like she's a neighbour who moved away long ago. Yeah. There is another delay, and then, you know, I think she might be taking a nap, slugger, but let me just check. He lays down the phone, and you listen to him going to check, opening the door of the kitchen, shooing doggedly off the step, calling Mum's name, then clomping back to the phone to give you the answer you expected. Yeah, she's just this minute laying down for a rest, Danny. Better not wake her. Maybe she'll give you a ring tomorrow. With this promise, he falls silent, waiting for you to wrap up the conversation. You and Dad are playing a game. There are many rules to the game, maybe an infinite number of rules, all around you like tiny fish bones or infrared beams. The most important rule, though, is that you never, ever talk about the game. You act like there is no game, even though both of you know the other person is playing it. You keep yourself very still. You act like everything is normal. And if you can't remember what normal is, you turn yourself into TV Dad and TV Son. Or that's what you're supposed to do. Tonight, something has gone wrong, and you can't play it right.